Lord God, I just thank you for today and just being in our lives, God, and help us to hear from you today, God. I think you want to speak to our hearts. Amen. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Brokeback Mountain. I actually haven't seen it yet, but I find myself just as a Christian really torn about it. Because I don't know. I don't know if it's just another attempt, and I don't think that it is, of people saying, I want to be open with my life, and I just want to run free with that and do whatever I want. I don't know that it's saying that. And I find myself torn about it because as I've thought about it, and again, I haven't seen it, and I'm curious. But I think a message that I'm hearing through that movie is the message that I want to be open with my life and I want to be loved back for who I really am inside. And I think that's the cry of our hearts. And we want a love like that. And I don't think, and I could be wrong because I haven't seen it, I don't think it's just an attempt of someone to say, I want to be open and do whatever I want to do. And I think as Christians, sometimes we think it's saying that. I think what it's saying is I want to be open and I want to be loved for who I really am. I don't want to have to hide. And I wonder sometimes as Christians whether we're really listening to the culture. And see, that's the cry of our hearts, isn't it? For us to be open and know that we're loved back, and that's the kind of love that's in God. And I don't know if you ever thought about God's love before, but it's a kind of love that is capable of huge life transformation in our life. And it's also a love that knows no bounds. It's capable of loving even the shabbiest among us. And when I think about a movie like Brokeback Mountain, I think about that kind of love that we want. I really do. And I sometimes wonder as Christians, what are we so afraid of anyway? Because if that's the love that people want, that we want, and it's capable of life changing, it's capable of loving even the shabbiest among us, what are we afraid of? Do we think that if we're open, we're saying, this is a ticket for people just to sin? Go out and do whatever we... I don't think we have to be afraid of that. Because see, God's love, it says in his word that it covers over a multitude of sins. And I think God wants us to experience that kind of love because we're open with our life. And you know what? I'm not scared. The picture that is being displayed in that movie, I'm not scared for people to be open with what's really going on in their lives because I know that only in them being open is it possible that they might experience God's love. And I'm not scared because God's love is more powerful than sin. And I don't think the answer is we got to be closed off. That's the kind of love you and I want. And it's just not possible unless we're open with who we really are. And that's what openness with our life does. Being real with each other, being honest with each other, is it gives us the love that we want. And you know, I know when we talk about being open with our lives, we're afraid. And we're afraid because it involves risk, doesn't it? You see, if I'm open with my life with you guys, then you may not love me back. And I'm just a little bit scared about that. And what we got to realize that the fear that we feel in taking that risk, it's not an indication that we shouldn't do it. And I think that's what we do a lot of times. We feel afraid that people will not love us back if we really show them who we are. But it's a risk that we got to take. In fact, God says the fear that you and I feel in taking that risk is not an indication that we shouldn't do it. It's actually an indication that his love has not penetrated our hearts enough. It hasn't been perfected in us. And did you know that God's number one goal with you and I's life is that his love would be perfected in our hearts? 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment and shows that his love has not been perfected in us." It shows that his love hasn't been perfected in us. And see, there's no way around that. We got to take the risk, and it involves facing our fears. Because if we don't, his love will never be fully perfected in us. And that's why we got to be open with each other, with our life. I was watching Dr. Phil some time ago. Does anyone watch that? But I was really gripped by this story I saw on there recently. Actually, it wasn't recently. It was some time ago, but it was a married couple, and they had been married for about 2 years, and it was really leaning towards divorce. And the husband in this relationship, he was just this unsure of himself kind of guy. He lacked a lot of confidence. And he promised this girl the world. And before they got married, when he asked her to marry him, he bought her this extravagant engagement ring. He told her about the job that he would get and how it would make him lots of money. And if she married him, they would be happy together. And she would have this extravagant life. And he even took her on a honeymoon. And it was this incredibly lavish honeymoon. They even went on a hot air balloon ride. I've had a honeymoon, and there's no way I could afford that. But 2 years into marriage, she was openly saying that she felt had by him. Because you know what? The job never came through. They weren't living like $1 million. In fact, they were in a lot of debt. And my heart went out to this guy because I began to realize he tried to buy the kind of love he wanted. What would have happened if he'd have faced his fear and took the risk and really just showed this girl who he really was? Well, she may not love him back. Sure, that's the risk. But did he ever, by buying that love, ever really find the love that he wanted? No, it didn't solve anything. In fact, he was at square one again, wishing that someone would see him as he really was and would love him back. And that's the kind of intimacy God is determined to give us. And we do that all the time, don't we? I know one of the ways that I do this is with other leaders. I try to put on this facade. And you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to buy the love that I really want in my heart. I really want people to see me for who I am and love me back. We can't buy it. Because God's goal is to give us an intimacy where it's a love that's capable of changing our lives. And it's a love that knows no bounds, that sees us as we are, and is capable of loving us, warts and all. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, if we're open, we have fellowship with one another. Or we have the kind of intimacy that we long for if we're open. God wants us to be open with who we are. He wants us to be open with our life so we can get the kind of love that we want. And he also wants us to be open in our struggle with sin so that we can get the help that we need. Maybe you guys have heard this before, but it's true. Unconfessed sin is tolerated sin in our life. And I don't know if you've ever read the scriptures where Jesus encountered people who were broken in their sin before him. But it's really amazing. And one such scene was this woman who, people who saw themselves as self-righteous, stood her up before Jesus, and they said, "We caught her in the very act of adultery." And Moses' law says that someone who is caught in the act of adultery is worthy of being stoned to death. And Jesus said a very surprising comment, and he said that he is without sin, throw the first stone. And he was confronting their own self-righteousness. He was confronting their judgmentalness. And this girl comes to him, broken in awe. And what does he say? He forgave her, which is the beauty of it. But he says, go and sin no more. And there were many such encounters like that with prostitutes and tax collectors and adulterers. And Jesus forgave their sins, but he also sent them off with the truth that he did not want them to tolerate sin in their life. You can read in Matthew there, if you're following along on your outline, where it says, so if your eye, even if it is your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even if it is your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And what Jesus is getting at here is God's standard for our life is not to live in a tolerable state with sin in our life. And I don't know about you, but if we confess openly our sin with each other, it's kind of hard to be tolerable of it, isn't it? And you know what God's position is in our lives? He is a concerned father looking out at his kids and wondering why we're acting so independent of him all the time. I think that's the position he's in a lot. And he sees sin in our lives and he sees that it hurts our lives. Jesus said it's capable of throwing us into hell. And so he doesn't want us. Something that hurts our lives, he doesn't want us to be tolerable of it. I think we need to grab a hold that unconfessed sin is tolerated sin in our life. And I know we've maybe heard that before or we know that, but why don't we do it? And I just want to say I'm willing to bet there's a lot of us here today that God has just been speaking to our hearts about being open with some particular sin in our life. And I know that God, about 2 years into walking with him, I had this inappropriate relationship with a girl in our church, and God was just really calling me to be open and confess it with another leader. And I knew that's what he wanted to do, what he wanted me to do. I was really struggling with it because I really didn't think that it would benefit my life. And I needed God's perspective on it. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I know some of you are here today and you're probably saying, Ryan, there's just no way I can tell anyone what I've done. I'm too ashamed. I'm too embarrassed. And I just want to go back to a question for you. Do you really have the kind of love that you want in your life? A love that's capable of changing your life? A love that looks at you warts and all and loves you back? Do you have that? I think that's part of what God wants to do as he's leading you to confess your sin openly with another person. He at least wants to remove the burden of guilt from your life. Confess to each other so you can be prayed for and be healed. And that's what God wants. And like I said, he's in the position sometimes of a concerned father, wondering, why are you living your life so independent? And when we sin and we don't confess it, I think it's kind of our attempt to kind of pick up the broken pieces of our lives and put our life back together again. But God says we don't have the power to do that. That power only rests in him. And so if we really want him to pick up the broken pieces and put the mess that we've made back together, we've got to confess. And God will not despise it. He won't. He says in Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, He will not despise." I just want to ask you again, are you real with your life? Are you open with your life with others? God warns us from living a closed-off life. Did you know that? He warns us. And He warns us because we have this tendency to get puffed up spiritual heads. He warns us to be open as a safeguard to our life to keep us from spiritual pride. And I don't know if you've seen Jesus in the scriptures, but one thing did you know that Christ was confrontational? I don't know if we think about Him in that way before, but the times that He was confrontational, He was confrontational with people who had their heads puffed up and were full of spiritual pride, who weren't open. And He recounted a story of two guys one time who went to the temple to pray. One was open with their life. The other was closed. And Jesus confronted. He confronts closed offness. And I just want to read to you that story. And you've probably heard it before. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank You that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." God says, be open with your life. It's a safeguard against becoming spiritually proud. He who is humble will be exalted by God. And you know what this means is that if Jesus showed up in our small group, guess who'd He commend? Not the person who has it all together, who's closed off. He would commend the open person. And I think we forget that God honors our openness. He says, the humble will be exalted by me. And I think we doubt God on that. God honors openness. I remember I'm a salesman at heart. You just got to know that about me. And I was working in sales for Sears, actually. And, I was just selling kind of some small merchandise. But I helped this woman one time, and she said, "Hey, I'd really love for you to work for my team." And she handed me her card and gave me her number. And she managed a very good jewelry store. And I got real pumped up about it because it allowed me the opportunity to be selling stuff that costs more. So I'd make more. And I wanted the opportunity. But if you know anything about jewelry stores, they have to be very careful about who they hire, because you are dealing with a lot of money in merchandise every day. And as a part of the hiring process, I had to go through this character inventory. And they started asking me some very specific questions about how I use company resources. And it was questions about phone calls. And they asked if I had ever made a personal long-distance phone call from my work line. And I had to say, and of course I did. And they even asked more specific questions that, was this something condoned by management? And it wasn't. And they even asked, did you ever ask permission? And I didn't. And I realized, I did break a company rule. But it was very tempting to want to lie. And I remember struggling with this because I knew the implication was, if I was honest, they probably would not hire me. And I began to pray. I just said, God, I got to be open. Would you just honor me for doing that? And sure enough, I was open. I got a call back after they looked at it, and they said, "We can't hire you." I was like, "God, you call this honoring me?" And they said, "Sure enough, the questions that you answered, the ones that I just shared with you, we can't hire you based on that." But at the same time, I was getting married, and I had bought some wedding rings from them. And so I had went by there, picked them up. The manager just said, "Hey, don't leave your old job, because this one may not work out." And I was a little bummed, but I was a little excited, though, because I could show Lisa our wedding rings that we ordered. So I showed her them, and I pulled it out, and on the inside of the ring that I bought, it said, was engraved platinum. And it surprised me, because I only bought a white gold one. And if you know anything about rings, white gold is much, much cheaper than platinum. But I knew I had to take it back and say, "You guys made a mistake. You gave me the wrong ring." And as this was happening, I began to see, I wonder if this is God's way of honoring my openness on that test. And sure enough, I took it back, and the manager was like, "Whoa, you could have gotten away with this, and we would have lost $600 or more dollars." And she said, "Let me make a call." And she called some top executives who she had really tried to pull their arm to hire me. And they said, "I just want to let you know the story of just what just happened." And they said, "Hire him." I said, "Cool, God. That was you, man." And see, God honors us when we're open, not when we're faultless. He knows we're not faultless. He wants us to be open. He honors us. And I know we struggle with believing that. You know, one of the ways I think he honors us is by help, is that we create a safe place for other people to come and find the help that they need. And I know that a lot of us are really struggling with the question, "God, why am I not being used in other people's lives?" And I think a question that we have to look at is, are we open with our life? To see openness, and I think one of the ways that God honors us for being open is we begin to create a place that's safe for each other. And that's what God wants. And I really have struggled because I have been talking with some of you, and I know that some of you are involved in like small groups and different things, and I feel like sometimes we just don't believe that being open has any value sometimes. And I thought, did God want me to like address this today at all? Because I have some opinions, but I don't want to just come up here and share my opinions with you. And so I decided I was going to go spend some time with God about this. Is it that we just need to not be as open? Because I know sometimes we'll go to a small group meeting or something and we'll be open and we'll feel embarrassed walking away because we were the only ones. And we'll think, "God, what was the point of that? No one's lives changed. Nothing happened." And we begin to doubt that God honors it and uses it. And I know that's the prayer you're asking, a lot of you. "God, I want to be used in other people's lives." And as I spent time with God about this, I really think he laid on my heart that being openness is God's kind of clarion call that he uses anybody. That there are no spiritual better people to be used by him. Isn't that what it is? I think sometimes we come to the table of people's lives thinking, "I had to have this extensive leadership training process before I could be used in their life powerfully." But you know what the only thing God requires is? Sure, it might help if we have a little training, but the only thing he requires is that we come to the table of other people's lives and we be open with our own. And he will use that in other people's lives. And I realized recently when a friend of mine who's a very open guy told me a story that I too lacked faith with whether God really used it. And I think that's the issue of our hearts. We really lack faith in this area. And I have this friend, and I wish I could just bring him up here, let you meet him, but I can't because he's not here. But if you saw him, none of us in this room would think, there's a leader for God. There's a guy God uses powerfully in people's lives. None of you would have that thought. But you know what you would think? Boy, is he open. And you know what? Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. He's so open with his life. And he told me the story recently. And just like he's open with me, he's open with others. And he was sharing with this girl about some struggles. And just to let you know, there was no romantic motivation here. But he's just an open guy. And he was sharing with her some struggles he was going through. And this girl began to feel like he was a safe place. And she basically began to tell him about how a week before she had been raped by another guy on her campus. I don't know if you know this, but rape victims, that's extremely rare to not keep it hidden. And it's especially rare to come out with that with a peer relationship. It was nothing short in my book of a miracle of God. And he was able to point her to the way of somewhere she could go for help. And it challenged my heart because I realized, God, you use our openness. We become a safe place for other people. And if we really want to be used in other people's lives, there's no way around it. I just want to encourage you guys to do this, to be open, to be real, to be honest with your life. Encourage me as well. And I want this to be an issue of our faith. Do we really believe God uses it? And so as you're asking, God, why don't... God, I want you to use me in another person's life powerfully. I want you to remember this verse in James. When he or she asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. This man or woman should not think he or she will receive anything from the Lord. And I think on this issue of openness, we can't be tossed and turned by our doubt. We've got to live out our faith. If we don't, we shouldn't wish to receive anything. And so I just want to encourage you to hold on. Be open. God will honor you. He will use you. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this time, Lord. God, you do place a tremendous emphasis in your word about being open with our lives. And God, I think you do this for so many reasons. But as we walk away, all of us, from this today, God, I want it to change our lives, Lord. I really do. I ask you to do that, God. And as we walk away today, Lord, I just ask you supernaturally, God, to cause us to want to come back here to NLCF, Lord. If it's not NLCF, then to somewhere where your kingdom is happening. And I want us to do that because you have provided for us a place where we're safe, where we can be ourselves with each other and be loved back, God, and rest in the reality that that will change our lives radically. God, create in us a culture of openness and realness and honesty so that we might glorify your love, God. And that's what our hearts are searching for, God, desperately. I believe everyone in this room, including myself, God, we are searching for a love, Lord, that is capable of changing our lives, and we're searching for a love that will love us warts and all. God, bring us back here time and again because it's safe. And we know, God, that our part in that is we've got to be open. I pray you transform our lives through this. Amen.